Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski. On 104.5 The Zone.
33% of Ryan Tannehill's pass attempts come off of play action. That is second in the league behind only Jared Goff. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. 62% completion percentage off of play action. 6 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. But here's the deeper dive. On second down, we started the week by discussing the Titans on first down. On second down, and I mentioned their second down success earlier this week, they are excellent on second down and yardage. On second down, nobody runs more play action than the Tennessee Titans. They've done that 36 times. They're 23 for 36, 456 yards. Tannehill on those plays, a 147 passer rating, no interceptions. Averaging 20 yards per completion on second down, play action.
That's ridiculous. I mean, those are some numbers.
That's why you run on first.
Those are some numbers.
That means they're in some attractive.
You run and you throw the ball. Those are guys in soccer. You run and kick the ball. You run and you throw the ball. Play action pass.
They run a little over 60% of the time on first down. To me, that's the right decision based on their second down numbers and what they're getting for the play action.
Agree. I was a bit critical of the first down run.
Well, you're just looking at the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, just that one game.
Well, in totality, that formula is right. And we get to see what happens this week against a Bengals defense that is not good at stopping a run. You put them right up there with Houston on the mentality of what this offense needs to do Sunday.
737-1045 if you want to jump in. Looking forward to talking to Dean Pease coming up here in a little bit also about the game plan against one Joey Burrow. Get your hands up, I think, is going to be one key for that defensive
line. And they've been very good at that. I need to look up where they rank in terms of tipped balls, passes defensed. They all count as passes defensed, right? But they, up front, they've done a hell of a job, led by Simmons. But a lot of guys have gotten a hand up. And those balls that have gone in the air, a decent percentage of them have turned into interceptions or interception chances. These aren't just batted balls that are incompletions. A high percentage of them, it feels like, have turned into turnovers or turnover chances.
Here's the crazy thing about Joe Burrow. He has dropped back 73 more times than Patrick Mahomes this season.
They are slinging it.
They're trailing, but at the same, you know, they have one win on the season. They're not the, you know, they're not the Jets. They're not the Cowboys. It's not like you're, we don't discuss, at least I haven't thought of the Bengals the same way as I've thought of those teams. When you watch them play, first off, they're exciting to watch offensively. Like it's a fun brand of football that they're playing offensively with Burrow. They believe in him. They're all in with him. And they're asking a lot out of him. He's been pressured 80 times, and he has 321 dropbacks on the season.
The other thing is, I mean,
Zach Taylor's a good offensive football coach.
Yeah, it doesn't good offensive fit. Mind. It doesn't fit because they got a good running back in Mixon. The thing is, and people say Bernard, you know, like Bernard as a number two. The thing is that they're behind, and so. I'd like to see his fourth quarter passing attempts broken out. I bet he's leading the league or close to it in fourth quarter passing attempts, right? Because they're behind. And then they've got no choice but to throw it a bunch.
Yeah, they go into fourth quarters tied or with the lead. I mean, we're only seven games into the season. It's not like they're not getting blown out.
No. But who are they relying on?
Unless it's Baltimore. They're getting blown out against Baltimore.
A lot of people are getting blown out by Baltimore, though.
Yeah.
Not just them.
I would like to see Pittsburgh win this game. I really am impressed by Pittsburgh, and I think they could win this game if and when
You're feeling Baltimore?
Huh?
You're feeling Baltimore against?
No, I'm feeling – I'd like to see the Steelers win it. But I think there's a good chance Baltimore wins it at home. And if Baltimore wins it at home – we're more and more in this thing where you can only talk about one team, right? You can only talk about one thing.
So,
Nashville has a flood.
Here we go with
Nashville
Baltimore.
Has a flood, but there's a terrorist plot for a car in Times Square, and we can only talk about the terrorist plot in Times Square, and we ignore the flood for 5 days. Baltimore wins this game, and next week, watch. All we're going to hear about is the Ravens. That's it. The Ravens then ascend to the best, quote-unquote, best team in the AFC, maybe best team in football because they beat the best team in the AFC and maybe the best team in football, and watch. Ravens, 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 Ravens.
Well, and we're also going to start seeing them. So they've got, I'm trying to think of their schedule. They have the Colts, Patriots, and Titans. Those are the three games coming up for Baltimore after the Steelers. The Patriots game's on Thursday.
Yeah.
So they have the Colts next week. And then on Thursday Night Football, they have the Patriots. That will be a marquee matchup no matter what happens with New England, because the talk will be about Cam Newton and Belichick. And by then, they've either turned it around or they haven't, and they're going against one of the top teams in the league. And then the Titans matchup.
I have bad news. If they win this Pittsburgh game, they're going to be talked about like crazy. Then they're going to win all three of those games.
After those three, they have Pittsburgh again. Yeah,
I don't think Indy's very good. I think Patriots clearly aren't very good. And I think the Titans game will amount to a Super Bowl kind of game for the Ravens based on last year's playoff game. I chalk that one up as a loss before the season started just because of the
which one?
The Titans-Baltimore game.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think that has a lot to do with who's the better team. I just think that's such a monumental game for Baltimore. Like last year, as soon as the Titans were done beating them, I would have said regular season next year, Ravens will win based on the level of motivation from the sting of this defeat.
And I said that's Thursday Night Football. I apologize. I was looking at the wrong calendar. That's going to be Sunday Night Football. Patriots-Ravens.
Dude,
I think that's such a
bad game, I'd flex out of it.
Baltimore at New England?
I think there's a couple games between now and then. I think New England is...
They're not flexing out of that game.
I think New England's done.
Let's go to Andrew. What's up, Andrew?
How you doing, fellas? I have a question. What practical trades would you like or envision the Titans to make before the trade deadline?
If you had to choose one, would it be for corner depth?
Or a corner starter?
Well, I don't think you're finding a corner starter for the price tag that you're hoping.
Well, I guess then the question
would
be,
carry over to the free agency next year with a reduced cap.
The question then would be, what level of go for broke are you willing to do? Are you willing to go Stephon Gilmore level go for broke in trying to secure a corner and shore up something where you're very weak right now? Or are you more mindful of the cap moving forward and not necessarily in that spot with this team, considering that you're still 5-1, even with all the defensive problems and third down problems?
I don't really love to play this game because people get so far carried away. By the way,
Baltimore has no problem playing this game.
No. Am I giving away next year's first? I'm not anxious to give away next year's first. But if you're drafting Isaiah Wilson with next year's first, I would love to give away.
Who are you giving away next year's first for?
I don't know. Gilmore, they're probably looking at least for a second. You know, but if
he's due like $17 million next year.
No, the cap number's $17 million. Salary's $7 million. It's not unbearable.
Well, that's the problem, though, is the cap number.
The cap number is unbearable for what they have.
No, but you
year.
Don't bring the cap number. The guaranteed stuff is already paid. The Patriots keep that. He's not unbearable. He's hard to pay this year. It's about $8 million left, and the Titans have about $8 million. So if you brought Stephon Gilmore in now, this is very unlikely, by the way. If you brought him in now, you'd have to restructure Lawan or do something big, and then you wouldn't have much money.
Right, right. But if you don't spend left. What you don't spend, if you're under the cap this year,
is paying Johnny Smith.
Can't you carry that over?
Yes.
To the cap next year, which is supposed to be reduced. and you still want to extend Jayon Brown and Jonnu Smith. And
Jayon Brown's looking less and less like somebody I'm wild about paying big money to at the right
David
price.
David Long's looking less and less likely to be active on game day.
Yeah. No,
the more I, and I more mean, I see him inactive as a healthy scratch.
They've got issues. Now, here's a guy I'd be very interested in that people keep dropping his name, except he's not under contract beyond this year, so I'd want him under contract. Mm-hmm. Ryan Kerrigan. Steady, right? A steady guy who, now I think he probably plays 4-3, right? But I would think he's, is Washington 4-3? I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, yep.
Somebody like that in the last year of his contract, I think you'd have to extend him. What would Washington take for a guy in the last year of his contract? What would you be willing to give up for a guy that you're only getting 9 games out of? And are you going to concede that Beasley and Clowney and Landry aren't getting it done? And are you going to take away virtually all of Beasley's snaps and make him the fourth guy after you've spent $9.5 million?
Take away all 30 of his snaps.
I would. I'd be perfectly
happy.
In
some games, 11.
I'd be perfectly happy watching him roam the sideline.
Those are the 11 best snaps these eyes will ever see.
That PFF thought those 30 were
special. Guys, it's only week 7. He's got to get in game shape.
Yeah. Any day now. Sometime around Christmas, he'll be in game shape.
Dean Pease.
We're getting him ready for the playoffs, boys.
Secret weapon. They're not
former
showing her.
Former Titans defensive coordinator Dean Pease, the dean of defense next. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
Coming up this afternoon on the 3HL.
We talk Titans football with Mike Keith and Mark Mariani.
And Josh Ward with the latest on the Tennessee Vols.
Plus Tracy Wolfson on the sidelines for Ravens Steelers. She joins us at 3:15.
This afternoon from 3 to 6 on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180. We are delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Crew is all here today, and every Friday, the Dean of Defense, Coach Dean Pease, who joins us weekly to chat about defensive adjustments that the Titans can make for their weekly game plan against their upcoming opponent. Of course, this Sunday, you can hear the game between the Titans and the Bengals in Cincinnati right here on your home for Titans football, Titans Radio 104.5 The Zone. Coach Dean Pease, presented by Flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. Achieve freedom from glasses and contacts. Swim, work out, wear makeup the next day with Flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. Online at toyosclinic.com. Coach, always great to see you. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, thanks, Jonathan. Great to be here.
Time to get to your keys for this Titans-Bengals matchup from the defensive perspective, and it starts with affecting the quarterback. The ball is coming out quick. With Joe Burrow and this offense, they have to affect him with pressure or coverage in some way in order to gain that advantage.
Yeah, I think the number one key, if I was, you know, we normally do three keys, and I'd say the number one thing is affect the quarterback. And there's a couple of different things about that. One was, I think, number one is to push the pocket and get your hands up. This guy likes to throw from the pocket. He's not necessarily a rollout and boot guy. I mean, he will try to escape and he can run okay, but I think you got to really push the pocket, get your hands up. I've seen him throw some balls when he can't follow through that sail on him. The other thing is, I think our defense has done a good job of tipping some balls that have gotten intercepted this year, and that would be a big key. The second part of affecting the quarterback is always disrupting routes of the receivers. You got a big receiving core. You got three guys that are 6'4", 6'5". You know, we're not the biggest secondary in the world. We're not bad but size-wise. But I'm just saying, if you disrupt the timing of the routes, too, he can't throw the ball on time. And then the third part of affecting the quarterback is you got to be able to adjust to their formations, because they basically, they got two things they're doing with Burroughs. Number one is they're going a lot of empty, so he can get the ball out quick and can read the coverage. And then number two, where the tight end is tells you a big story, because they do a lot of max pro, which we mean, okay, they're going to give you 7-man protection, which is hard to blitz. The only way you can really blitz that is two ways. One, you either send 8 guys, which kind of now you're in full blitz coverage back in the back end, which is scary, or you can simulate pressure and still rush 4 and try to make it look like blitz. But number one key is affecting the quarterback in those three ways: push the pocket, disrupt the routes of the receivers for the timing, and then do it with coverage in certain formations.
On the disrupting routes, how do you rate what the Titans have been able to do in terms of that? Seemed like against Pittsburgh, with the ball coming out so quickly from Roethlisberger, there wasn't enough of that because he was able to go very quickly to the first guy he looked at.
Well, you know, you just get, first of all, you got to be up in their face. If you're going to disrupt a route, you can't be playing off. So, you know, you got to get up there and jam them, and it could be in zone, it could be in man coverage. It just depends on how comfortable you feel with your personnel, if that, you know, how Mike feels about the Titans playing man coverage on these big receivers, because that's you know, they're physical. They're not – you can't let – I went against A.J. Green 16 times. You can't let this guy build speed down the field. He's got a great route tree. We always felt like we had to get him restarted and make him start again and make it make life miserable for him getting off the line of scrimmage. Boyd has really come on. As Higgins is a big guy, Tate's a big guy. They aren't, they're build speed type guys where you can't let them build speed down the field. So, you know, as far as rating the Titans, I can't really, Paul, I wouldn't really say because I can't really say I've gone back in the last six games and said, okay, I've been watching that. I just know that going forward here in Cincinnati, I think that's going to be one of the key things is to get these guys on the line of scrimmage.
How much freedom is there for a cornerback to decide? If you say jam and he's uncomfortable, does he have the flexibility to back off? Or do they sometimes not follow orders because they're worried about getting beat over the top if they do jam?
Well, I think, you need to know as a coach, as a secondary coach or as a coordinator or as a head coach, what your guys can and cannot do. And, you know, if they don't feel comfortable doing it, then I don't know why you would ask them to do it. You know, it's just if they're not comfortable, it's going to be hard. You know, most guys are going to be able to do whatever the coaches say, but the coach has also got to be cognizant of what the player wants to do and what he is capable of doing. You know, a guy like Malcolm, he's not afraid to get up there and knock the heck out of any receiver and get up there and jam him. And so you got to know your players. And first of all, I would think by knowing your players, you kind of set the coverage up so that you're not asking a guy to do something he can't do. You know, if you know a guy is not a good man coverage guy, I mean, to ask him to play man coverage is ludicrous. So, you know, then hopefully at least he can get up there and jam the guy and play zone with a safety or somebody over the top. You know, I just think they have some flexibility, but you do that during the week. You kind of take that part of it out so that, you know, you're not expecting as a coach the guy to go up there and jam, and then here comes Sunday and the guy never jams. And you'll know that. You better know that during the week before Sunday ever rolls around.
We are with our Dean of Defense on the Midday 180 presented by Flapless Lasik at Toyo's Clinic. Dean Pease with us, former Patriots, Ravens, and Titans defensive coordinator.
Coach, you mentioned these big receivers for Cincinnati. How important is tackling with these guys on the outside?
Well, my second key after affect the quarterback is called RAC, R-A-C, run after catch. I'm not so worried about these guys, and especially if you get up in their face and you jam them, of them getting down the field, they throw more back shoulder fades than they actually throw fades. But one of the things that they did really well, I thought, against Cleveland last week, and with all this empty stuff and the ball coming out quick, is get the ball in the hands of these receivers and let them break tackles. They're big. They're physical. They run straight ahead. They go north and south. They don't try to make moves and other than just, hey, get what we can get. So run after catch is big. And of course, the number one part of run after catch is going to be tackling. And that's going to be a big, big key.
Coach, you've mentioned the empty backfield quite a bit with what Cincinnati will show. I'm curious, when you flip on the film, do you immediately think as a play caller, you know what, this is a week we're going sub package, we're going nickel and dime throughout the entire game against what the Bengals will try to do? Is that how you would defend the empty backfield?
Well, there's no doubt. They don't really seem to do a lot of empty out of big personnel groups. They do it kind of out of 11 and 10 personnel, where it's just one back and one tight end. So, you know, I think you would be in probably sub anyhow, whether you want to go dime or not. That's, you know, you got to know that based on your personnel if you want to move a defensive back into linebacker. But I think what's going to happen is, you know, they don't do a lot of two tight end sets. They do some, and you can play base defense against that. But I don't really see – I think this is a pass first, run second offense. Now that Mixon, whether he – if he doesn't play – you know, Giovanni has really been a good back that I've gone against before. He's a great receiving back, but he's not a guy that can tote the ball 30 times or 25 times, and he's not going to be that kind of guy. So I think we'll defend the run just fine. I think we got to really be able to play the pass. I think they're going to throw it a lot. They're spreading you out to go empty so that he can see the field and get the ball out quick because they cannot protect. They're really struggling with the offensive line. They got a bunch of guys out. And so they got to get the ball out quick that way or leave a tight end in along with the back. And like I said before, seven-man protect. So I think, you know, that's going to be the just – I think this game is going to probably be played in a sub-package primarily, yes.
The P's keys, affect the quarterback, run after catch, and have a plan for the empty backfield. Pass first, run second for this offense, Coach. This is one of the few weeks, maybe the first week, that you have not mentioned stop the run in your three keys to a Titans defensive win on Sunday. This is all about Burrow and his arm.
It is. It's hard for me as a defensive coordinator. Almost every game I've ever coached in, I've always said, you know, stop the run, which obviously we have to do. But I just don't think that that's a big key for them. Now, they may change a little bit and try and shorten the game, but really, the talent of their offense is the quarterback and the receiving core. The weakness of their offense is going to be the offensive line. And like I say, they don't have Mixon, they don't have a back that can really just plow it in. They're a zone running team. They are not complicated in the run game. They don't run gap schemes. They might run a reverse or something here and there, but they're not complicated running the ball. I think they're running the ball, trying to set it up with the pass to try to get you to pass rush and then try to, you know, hit a crease in there on the zone runs. And they can certainly hurt you. But the talent on this team is that quarterback and those receivers. You can't ignore the run, and I know that we won't. Mike would never let that happen, but you got to really be able to defend the pass because he's going to throw it a lot, I think.
Something that Titans fans can watch for on Sunday, and I'll have you explain this a bit deeper for us, is A.J. Green, who's really come on in recent weeks within this offense. He pushes off and gets away with it among the best in the league at that position of finding separation and not drawing an offensive flag. And his catch radius is nearly unmatched. That certainly helps him, the way he can find separation with the nuance of finding a little give with the defensive back and the yellow flags not hitting the ground.
Well, he has always been good at that ever since he really came out years ago as a rookie. I mean, big receivers have a way, and really good big receivers have a good knack for being able to push off without kind of getting caught. I also think sometimes the officials give them a little leeway because of who they are and the name that they have. Sometimes they get away with a little bit more. But that aside, he's always done a great job. His catch radius is ridiculous. I mean, and it's not a 50-50 ball with him. It's like a 70-30 ball when they throw it up to him. He's always been that way, and he just really has a knack. All the real big receivers, good ones, have that. And so he's a tough guy when in man coverage at the top of the route because he's going to give you just a little bit of arm that most of the officials don't either notice or they let him get away with. And the problem of it is defensive backs want to fight him at the top of the route. And what happens is then you end up getting pushed off. You got to beat him with your feet, not with your hands. Obviously, you can't touch him. So you just got to be able to match the route. And yeah, he's a good one. And Higgins is very good, too. He's a big receiver, not quite the caliber, I don't think, of A.J. Green yet. But And then Boyd, who's not, he's not small now. I mean, he's 6'2", 203. All these receivers are over 200 pounds. Boyd's kind of the go-to guy in the slot, and Green and Higgins are going to be those big guys that they're trying to match and just body you up.
Dean, they could be Jonah Williams, their best offensive lineman. He's probably out. It looks like center Trey Hopkins with a concussion out, right tackle Bobby Hart with a knee could be out. So they weren't a very good offensive line as it was. Now they might be out three starters. How intensely do you look at that? And for a team that has not rushed the passer very well, a lot of fans are looking at this and thinking now or never. We know it's a quick, the ball's coming out quickly, but there are going to be times where it doesn't come out quickly. We've been waiting on Clowney. We've been waiting on Beasley. We've been waiting on Landry. Is it reasonable to expect to finally see the pass rush get home?
Well, I think, you know, just to put it bluntly, yes. I think that, you know, I think this is a team that we can four-man rush. I think with the ball coming out quick, a lot of times, you know, on certain down distances, you know, especially if it's third and, you know, less than six, you know, as far as trying to pressure the quarterback, if you're trying to play zone, ball's going to come out so fast, he's going to find an open zone. You'd have to play man coverage if you want to pressure in those situations. But I also think this is going to be a week where you can four-man rush. I think Michael and Shane and those guys will do, and T. Williams will do a great job of trying to match up the guys up front on some of the weak links. And this is not a great offensive line right now with all their injuries. And that's why they're going empty. So he can see the field and spread you out and try to get the ball out quick and see what the coverage is. So I think that this is going to be a week that we need to get there with the four-man rush. And I think those guys are going to have success doing it. Now, I know it's going to get frustrating at times because the other part of their offense is the screen game. You know, one of the things that happens when you have a fairly your offensive line's down a little bit is you can't tell the difference between you beating the guy in the rush or the guy letting you beat him. And, you know, so sometimes their screen game is really good. And Giovanni now, I mean, this guy has always been a really good guy on the screens. So I think – yeah, Paul, I think this is going to be a week where I think guys are going to be, you know, licking their chops a little bit on our defensive line saying, hey, just let me pass rush. Let me get some one-on-ones with these guys and we can affect the quarterback.
You know, we mentioned we could say each week stop the run is a key. And I could say each week this is a good matchup for Jeffrey Simmons because he's just that good week in and week out. But I envision both Simmons and Daquan Jones getting plenty of chances in this matchup on the interior of their offensive line. I think we think pass rush and automatically think the edge. I'm going to be watching on the interior. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I you know, what they're going to do is I think, like I said, way back, you know, first key was push the pocket. I mean, that's one thing Jeffrey Simmons has been doing, you know, all year, and Daquan can do it too. Those guys can push the pocket and get up into his face. And, you know, yeah, we got to get some guys on the edge and all that kind of stuff. But here's what I think you're going to really see is in those situations that they don't really try to get the ball out quick, they're going to max protect and they're going to leave the tight end in. He's going to be in the backfield along with the running back. And they're going to try to go seven-man protection against that four-man rush just to give him a little extra time. And that's when we're going to have to play a little tighter coverage. But there's no doubt, even with those guys in the backfield, if you get Jeffrey Simmons on one of those guards or one of those centers and push in the pocket, he's still going to try to get that quarterback off the spot. And if he gets him off the spot means where the quarterback wants to be when he wants to deliver the ball. When that back foot hits, he wants to be able to deliver the ball. They're going to have a tough time, I think.
I know Paul's about to go to practice to observe Adoree Jackson to see how he looks, but Coach, with his return this weekend against Cincinnati, what does that do for the Titans defense?
Well, it's you know, anytime you get a starter like that back, I mean, he's, you know, along with Malcolm, he's arguably the best coverage guy, you know, in man coverage, although, you know, I think Malcolm's pretty good too. But I just say that anytime you get a starter back like that, it's a big lift. It's a big boost, not only of his physical attributes, but it's also mentally. You're getting a starter back, and the other starters know that. It's a guy they've played with for a couple of years, and you know, it's just, it's the continuity of it, the familiarity with guys. I think all those things will help. I don't care whether they play him in nickel, whether they play him outside, whatever. I mean, that'll be a big boost to the defense, I think.
Coach, always great to have you on. The segment flies by when we scout the opponent with you. Thank you for your time, as always, and we look forward to doing this next week against an uncommon opponent in Chicago.
Hey, look forward to it, and thanks for having me on.
All right, John. Coach Dean Pease has been our guest. He's presented by Toyo's Clinic, online at toyosclinic.com. And they offer the flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. Achieve freedom from glasses and contacts. You can swim, you can work out, you can wear makeup the next day with flapless LASIK at Toyo's Clinic. Rolando Toyos, Nashville's top doc for LASIK and smile. Online, toyosclinic.com.
Listen to all the Titans games on the 104.5 The Zone app.
Yeah, Henry diving, scoring. Again!
Your home for Titans football, 104.5 The Zone.
It's been a while since we've heard music at all during the show, but it's been a really long time since the three of us have heard Mumford and Sons together.
It does help with the energy, the bump music.
Brings you back to a time and place when this show was new.
Yeah.
Right? to new beginnings.
Look how, Paul. I'm so glad you pointed this out because it just hit me again. Look how sophisticated Chad looks with this.
I need a pipe.
A pipe, you do.
Chad's wearing, he has a blue button-up shirt.
I'm in my TV gear for tonight.
Okay, yeah. Chad's on the call with me, by the way, tonight. My TV 30, 7 o'clock, Springfield against Creekwood
tonight. I'll get a photo of this shirt.
Do we have to wear a mask at any point while we're on camera?
No, but mandatory.
We have to follow stadium protocol wherever we go. So it's a mask to enter. We'll probably have our temperature taken when we go through the gate.
Okay.
Whenever we're on the air, it's just like right now. We do not have to wear the mask.
Mandatory ascots, though.
Maybe I'll wear the ascot in the stand-up tonight.
Oh, God, that would be terrific.
He's got Chad has the gator mask around his neck, and it looks very sophisticated right now.
I want to talk about betting for a second.
Better question is, how does my hairline look?
Your hairline looks spectacular. I want to talk about the betting for a second. We're all involved with different betting applications and sources now.
Yeah.
And so, but it's kind of weird that it triggers just that November 1st happens to be Sunday, right? And so we've talked a lot about the ramp up and everything, but I'm wondering if these, they don't have any control over it, right? But
you're saying for Sunday being the day?
So there's not a lot of ramp up to it. Like, I'm going to be, I'll go play some bets. I'll go play some bets just to play with the free money that I have in my account with BetMGM on Sunday morning to take advantage of their specials and stuff on the first day. But there's really no run up to it. Like, if I could do it Saturday night, I'd spend some time and play around and all of that. And Sunday morning, it's kind of a hurried thing. I wonder if they think, well, you know, test run, and then next week they'll have a huge week of advertising, getting everybody to kind of step into it. And is Monday night the Bucks in New York?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So I think there'll be a lot of getting people to do stuff for that game because they've got 2 days of talking about that.
I think there'll be a big, even with things starting midnight Sunday morning, I think there will be a big, big explosion of action on Sunday's games.
Yeah.
But then you're right. I mean, it's not like you're looking at it now. Like, oh, now I get to play with this over the weekend and bet on college and pro games over the weekend. No, it starts Sunday. So you get that Sunday's NFL slate, Monday Night Football, and then you can start to project.
Like, are the businesses you're advertising for, can you even get the app now? Like BetMGM, there's a New Jersey app. But the Tennessee app doesn't even, like, you can't even get it until
So, Chad's with Action 24-7. I'm with FanDuel. You're with BetMGM. So, FanDuel, just opening up the app right now, I can get in there. And you can play games
They have other
without
stuff.
Betting. And then once it's live, you get the site credit, and you can actually load money onto your account.
Then you can load more. You can play with the site credit that you have for signing up early, or you can load more money in and start playing.
Right.
So I think
I've been playing. I think the free there's a Tennessee version throughout.
I think there's a Tennessee version of BetMGM that doesn't exist until midnight Saturday
November 1st.
Night.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So right now I have I have New Jersey version of it on my phone, but I can't make a bet, obviously, because I'm not in New Jersey.
Because they know your location.
Right. So I'm kind of fired up on the whole thing because I'm like into the, like, one of the things I'm going to do is, like, pick three touchdown scores from three different games.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm curious about that. I think I could pick three guys who are going to score touchdowns in a game. Like, I feel like what's your thing that you're going to play with that's outside the norm?
Oh, mine would just be the straight line on the game.
I'm more of a line or over-under guy. Yeah. See, I don't like over-unders at all because I'm always over.
You lose
over.
Me when you start getting into too much of that.
I'm always an over guy because I never want to root for teams to stop scoring. You know what I mean?
Paul's going to love bad beats on SVP before it's all said and done.
I see Barton Simmons has what he calls the over brigade, I think he says. Like, yeah. He bets over on certain conferences in college football, and he's at like 82% on the year. He's like, it's amazing. There's free money to be had if you bet the over on these teams in every game, and he's been doing it all year and tweeting about it.
Chad, coming up, the VolQuest Hour with Austin Price and Brent Hubbs.
That,
presented
by
Old Hickory Credit Union.
Was an example of how we'll talk about betting on this show.
Yeah, there you go.
We're not going to have a betting expert and go into things. We'll talk about our stuff.
Talk about our stuff. A little bit. Yeah. We like to talk about our stuff. We like to talk about Tennessee stuff.
And this concludes the betting segment.
And to go into the weekend each Friday, we will give you one game as if it's already been played.
Right.
Yeah.
Or what I heard yesterday on the station was eight games as if they've been played. I'm going to let you go 8-0 right now.
I do think
that's
actually
what the spot said. I'm thinking, well, great.
I don't want to undersell because I do think I actually have a little thing like Jerk of the Week where I'll give you like one thing. And I think it's called something like We Don't Need the Bookie. Like we used to always talk about how we needed a bookie. Yeah. So
I'll play this game like it's already been
one
played.
Thing.
Jonathan Stone.
We also need to get back to to Kirby's picks that we started last
week.
Oh,
we did talk to Kirby about picks.
Button was out. But
yeah, I told you about Junie was running his picks through Kirby. But Kirby was saying that Detroit is very unorganized on the road.
Yeah, an example of Kirby was that we just set a game, and he said, oh, Detroit never wins on the road. And Paul said, well, you know that the road games don't mean as much without fans, right? No, just historically, when they have to travel, it's been bad for that franchise. That's why he was going against them in the game. That was his level of analysis.
Yeah, he'd be great. He'd be great for a pick segment.
Austin Price, Brent Hubbs coming up. The VolQuest Hour. And, Chad, that means the phone lines are open to talk with those from VolQuest about all things Tennessee football.
Plenty to talk about. Tennessee on their bye week right now. And a scary time, not because it's Halloween, because it's 2 days off for college kids in the middle of the season. Away from COVID-19 protocols and how teams like Tennessee are trying to prevent an outbreak when they get 2 days to party and do what they want during a bye week in the middle of the season. 615-737-1045, 737-1045 if you want to jump in.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
Get the Titans and Bengals. Coverage starts Sunday at 10 a.m. with kickoff at noon on your home for Titans football, 104.5 The Zone.